MZTV.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't you just love verses like this? 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 50, Paul says, "Now this I am averring, brethren, that is stating forcefully. The flesh and blood is not able to enjoy an allotment in the kingdom of God." Well, that's not good news. No, that's not the good news part. It's coming up. Flesh and blood is not able, but don't worry, God's got the solution, see? God's got the solution. Just when you get all depressed, flesh and blood is not able to enjoy an allotment in the kingdom of God. Neither is corruption enjoying the allotment of incorruption. And then you look at yourself, well, that's all I got. That's all I got is corruption. That's all I am is flesh and blood. But then you get to verse 51. Ho, ho. Here's the big switcheroo. Lo, a secret. This is Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. A secret to you am I telling. Yeah, Paul, what is it? We all indeed shall not be put to repose. Oh, wait a minute, Paul, put to repose. Isn't that a euphemism for death? Yeah. So you're saying, Paul, not everybody in the body of Christ is going to die. It's a secret, man. Yes, that's what I'm telling you. We shall not. We all indeed shall not be put to repose. Yet we all shall be changed. You mean changed from flesh and blood? Correct. Changed from corruption? Correct. This is an amazing secret, Paul. Some of us will not die, but all of us are going to be changed. How quickly will this change happen? Oh, in an instant, in the casting of an eye at the last trump. For he, Christ, will be trumpeting, and the dead will be roused incorruptible. We shall be changed. And then Paul goes on and says this has to be because this corruption must put on incorruption. I love that word must. And this mortal put on immortality. The word left out there is, again, must. Paul sort of carries it over. It's just unspoken. This corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal put on immortality. Now, whenever this corruptible, she's not telling us when it's going to happen. He's just saying it is going to happen. Some people will be alive when it happens. And therefore, not all of us will die. Paul said, I can't tell you who it's going to be exactly. That's why I say in verse 54, now whenever this corruptible should be putting on incorruption and this mortal should be putting on immortality, then shall come to pass the word which is written, swallowed up was death by victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? I hate death. Take that, death. Take that. And this. I know God provided for it. I know God brought in death. I know there's no shock of resurrection unless there's death, but that doesn't mean I can't be ticked off at it. I mean, God's responsible for World War II, but that doesn't mean I can't flip off World War II. Because I can and I do flip off World War II. Where, O death, is your victory? Yeah, yeah. Where, O death, is your sting? Yeah, yeah. Death rules for the time being. But even now, we're supposed to be walking in newness of life and ignoring it, not worrying about it, not overthinking about it. And you know what? God provides for that. Every member of the body of Christ down through the ages has lived with a beautiful thought the beautiful possibility that I might not die. Nobody in the body of Christ should be buying any grave plots. For God's sake, what are you doing out there? I wish I could do a survey and find out the percentage of people in the body of Christ who knows about this verse, who have bought grave plots. I want to know the percentage of the members of the body of Christ who have bought grave plots ahead of time and like put down payment on them. What are you people thinking about? Why would you do this? I want to see the percentage of people have bought grave plots in the body of Christ compared to the, you know, per capita, compared to the general population. I just want a percentage. And I bet you that it's a very low percentage compared to the rest of the world who they all think they're going to die. They all know they're going to die. It's the old saying, what are the two things, the most sure things in the world, death and taxes. Well, for us, you can take death out of there. Death is not sure. It's not. Nobody in the body of Christ should be buying grave plots. Don't let me hear, please do not let me hear of anybody in the body of Christ buying headstones, writing your headstone ahead of time, writing your epitaph ahead of time. Don't let me hear it. Because we shall not all be put to repose. And the thing is, every single member of the body of Christ from the time of Paul forward has had this little twinge of hope. Now, yeah, everybody before us died, that's true. But they died thinking right up to the moment of death, if they died consciously, if they died, God forbid, slowly. I think instant death is a great way to go. But anyway, for those who, you know, for the dead, I think it is. For the living, it's kind of a shock. I wouldn't recommend it to anyone. I mean, I don't like death at all, no matter how you do it. But, yeah, they all had that little twinkle of expectation. There's where I use the word twinkle. You know I don't like the word twinkle in 1 Corinthians 15. It should be the casting of an eye, not the twinkle of an eye. But if Paul had mentioned anything about this, about the expectation of not dying, the possibility that you won't have to have that ugly experience and walking around with the knowledge that it could be you. And the closer and closer it gets to the end of 6,000 years, the more likely it is that we are the generation. And I totally believe we're the generation. I totally don't expect to die. Totally. You know, that I know that belongs on the episode of Psycho Boy. If you haven't seen Psycho Boy, made that one back in 2014, I think. No. 2012, 2013, Psycho Boy, look it up. It's about all these things we believe that seem crazy to other people. Like we're seated among the celestials in Christ. We're going to rule the universe someday. We're the ones that complete Christ. God is giving us secrets that nobody else has. We're going to judge angels. We're not going to die. These are little sparkly things to get you through life. And who the hell, who will dare to take that away from you? Well, there is a man today in the body of Christ who will take it away from you. What little happiness you have in this life, whether it's Coca-Cola, a nice cold Coke, or a cup of coffee in the morning, seeing your kids on the swing set in the backyard, eating French fries, watching your favorite TV show, thinking you won't die. It's a shock. When you read this verse, we shall not all be put to repose, and you figure nothing's more sure than this. I'll tell you what's sure. Death and taxes, forget about it. This is what's sure. We shall not all be put to repose. We shall not all die. You can take that to the freaking bank. is not all of us are going to die. There's a generation of living, of members of the body of Christ who will be alive at the time Christ returns. The return of Christ is a calendar date. It's a time on the clock. And there's going to be people alive when that clock strikes 2 and 45 seconds on August 10th, 2025. I'm not giving the date. I'm just throwing a random date out there. But you get the idea. There is a time. There is a time destined for this thing to happen. And it will happen during Eon 3 because there will be people wandering around the planet. And there will be people in the body of Christ because down through the generations, God has always had people in the body of Christ. It's always been a testimony on the earth of the gospel of Paul. And there have always been those forwarding it. Very, very few. Don't get me wrong. Very, very few. But there have been these people. We are among them. We are a testament on the earth of the grace of God, of the conciliation of the world. We are ambassadors. God has always had his ambassadors on the earth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are ambassadors as of God entreating through us. Be conciliated to God. We are ambassadors of the conciliation. God is at peace with the world, at peace through the blood of Christ. Yes. Take us away, and the world is void of that message. Take us away, and the time will begin to end this eon with the tribulation. Because the tribulation will not start while members of the body of Christ are on earth. Yes, yes, yes. I used to play around with the idea that the snatching away might be mid-tribulation. But now I realize that we have no business on this earth when God takes up again with Israel. Romans 11:25. When the fullness of the nations come in, then all Israel shall be saved. God takes up with Israel. Get it? Fullness of the nations, then Israel. All Israel shall be saved, beginning with God calling out his 144,000 and his vast throng to seal them before the day of indignation. Then the day of indignation unfolds. It's the birth pangs, the birth pangs, the birth pangs before the vaunted, the great, the longed for millennial kingdom. We're the key to the salvation of the rest of the world. It starts with Christ being completed. And we shall not all be put to repose. Don't let anybody take that twinkle away from you. It's a something to help you get through life, and every member of the body of Christ has had it. And it doesn't matter that, but Martin, all the ones before us died. I know that, but that doesn't mean that right up to the moment of their death, they didn't have that little twinkle, they didn't have that little ice-cold Coke, right? They had a little ice-cold Coke of thinking they won't die. Yeah. Oh, the ice-cold Coke of maybe I won't die. Yes, that's what I call it. From now on, I'll call it that. Martin, what's your expectation? I sip on the ice-cold Coke of maybe I won't die. I'm telling you, I don't think any of us are going to die. That's what I think. And yet, a member of the body of Christ has risen up to snatch away this happiness. And his name is, yes, Clyde Pilkington. He has stated in a newsletter that all humanity dies without exception. Clyde's teaching is we must all die, even though Paul says we won't all die. So yes, that's right. Now I'm going to go back to the letter that was written by, I told you I was going to finish this. I'm going to finish it today. Aren't you glad? It's a letter by Steve Martin. No, not that Steve Martin. I'm talking about the famous Steve Martin, the one that's in the body of Christ. A friend of Clyde, also a friend of mine, and I'm also a friend of Clyde, as you know. Clyde believes the body of Christ will not be snatched away. I went all through this because of the Acts 28 thing. You know, half of Paul's letters aren't for us. And, Steve says that doctrine is not heresy. Of course it's heresy. It's absolute heresy. And it's not, he said, it's a matter of honest examination. No, I told you it's not honest. It's not honest because there's a motive behind it. Some people don't want to be snatched away, honest to God. And I told you I'm going to read you two letters. They're going to blow your mind. I told you that. Two letters that back up my theory that not all members of the body of Christ are good with the snatching away. They're scared. They don't want to be snatched away. They're afraid of heights or something. I don't know. No, I'm not being facetious at all. They're comfortable on the earth, and I've talked to other people about this theory that I've had, and other people, they kind of poo-poo it at first, but then the more they think about it, they drop from poo-poo to just one poo, they poo it, and then after a while, they think about it some more, and they call me and they say, you know what, I think you're right, the more I think about it, yes, they're not going to say it, and they'll even deny that's the reason, but some people, you know, you're in your, what you call your comfort zone, they don't want to leave the earth, it's their comfort zone. So, and they don't want to leave their kids. They don't want to leave their grandkids. In fact, Steve says this at the end about the grandkids, because I mentioned it, you know, so I'm going to get there. Okay, but watch this. I listed 14 sectarian beliefs, 14 sects that Clyde Pilkington is a part of. And one of them is that we must all die. That's his teaching. It is. Bible Students, Notebook 827, page 7116. All humanity dies without exception. And you're not going to believe this, what I tell you right now. I'm going to get to the letter. I know. Listen to this. This is not even a joke. Clyde realized that he was going to be combated by 1 Corinthians 15:51, obviously. He's ready for it, though, you see. So he realizes that his teaching, that we all will die, we all must die, all humanity dies without exception. That's a quote from Bible Students Notebook 827, page 7116. He knows that somebody's going to say, but Clyde, what about 1 Corinthians 15:51? We all indeed shall not be put to repose. Do you know what Clyde does? He does the most thoughtless, the most Coca-Cola robbing-ish thing you can do. He says, oh, well, clearly that belongs to the consummation. Say again. When Paul says, a secret I am telling to you, we all indeed shall not be put to repose, yet we shall all be changed in an instant, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trump. For he will be trumpeting, and the dead will be roused incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Clyde says, well, that's true, but that happens at the consummation of the eons. What? At the consummation of the eons, everyone's saved. What do you mean? We're not going to be changed until the consummation of the eons? You're telling me that the consummation of the eons, 1 Corinthians 15, earlier in this very chapter, Paul says, death will be abolished, God will become all in all. You're telling me after God becomes all in all, Paul's going to come into the room, take hold of the microphone and say, I have a secret for everybody. Everybody's all excited because, you know, the great consummation has happened. God's become all in all, finally. This is the pinnacle of the Aeonian times. It's the consummation. Death has been abolished. Everybody that was in the lake of fire, the second death comes out, and there's no more rule. Christ himself gives up his rule to his Father earlier in 1 Corinthians, and there's this massive celebration. The Aeonian times are finally over. Like I said, everybody's alive. Satan has been returned to Christ. He's been conciliated to God and to Christ finally, and Satan and God are given high fives. Jesus and Judas are given high fives. Everybody's alive. There's no chance of death. It's been abolished. Totally abolished. Now, are we to believe Clyde Pilkington that at this time, the Apostle Paul, who's been long made alive, walks up, taps on the microphone, says, excuse me, I have a secret to tell everyone. Everybody has to put down their champagne. You know, Satan and God have to stop high-fiving, and Paul has this announcement to make. Okay, listen to this, everybody. I got a secret. We all indeed shall not be put to repose. Everybody looks at Paul like, what do you mean? Are you crazy? Are you interrupting a celebration of the consummation to say that we shall not all be put to repose? Dude, we're all alive. Use your eyes. Ah, we shall not all be put to repose. But we shall all be changed in an instant, in a twinkle of an eye. Paul, that happened thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. Go back to bed, whatever the hell your problem is. I would say to Clyde Pilkington, go back to bed, whatever the hell your problem is. Obviously, you make this crap up out of thin air. It applies at the consummation? This secret, we shall all not indeed be put to repose. This is only good news during the era of death. To say, just off the top of your head, oh, that belongs clearly. No. And when somebody, oh, this really drives me crazy. When somebody prefaces an outrageous scriptural remark with clearly, well, clearly that belongs to, it's not very clear. In fact, it's insane. It's nuts. It's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. In fact, play it again, Sam.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. God have mercy on your soul.
Yeah. This verse comes to pass at the consummation. Okay. Right. So, not to worry, ladies and gentlemen, because Steve Martin has taken on this. I list it as number three. The number three sect of Clyde Pilkington is, we must all die. This is Steve's response. Are you ready for this? You're not, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. And I'm quoting. This is not a denial of resurrection hope. Well, he goes on, but I have to stop there for a second and comment. It's not a denial of resurrection hope. You see how he gets around it? He makes a vague statement. Well, this is not a denial of resurrection hope like the thing itself. No, but what it is a denial that we will be... Well, wait a minute. This has nothing to do with resurrection hope. You can only resurrect somebody who is dead. Oh, I see how he's getting around it. Now I see it. This is not a denial of resurrection hope. You see, he also believes, since he's a student of Clyde Pilkington, and my friend Dean Wilkinson is also a student of Clyde Pilkington, has given up, I need to interview him, has given up on the Statue of Liberty, doesn't believe in it anymore. Chris Carnahan doesn't believe in it anymore. These gentlemen are quite content knowing that they're going to die. That would suck if you ask me, but they're good with it. They're like relieved. I talked to Dean Wilkinson on the phone about this. I said, I couldn't believe it. I said, you follow this teaching? He sounded relieved. He said, Martin, I can't tell you how much at peace. I shouldn't be repeating this because it was a private conversation, but I don't care. This is too outrageous. I got to share this with you. He says, I'm at peace knowing that I've been more at peace in my entire life. What? Knowing you're going to die, like having this expectation taken away from you? Yes, Martin. I feel so good about it. Never been happier. Okay. I don't know who this is, but can you put Dean Wilkinson on the phone? Yeah, that was Dean Wilkinson. Totally robbed. But happy. And the only thing I can figure out is that the snatching away, something about the snatching away bothered these people. It bothers all people who grasp on to wild, unscriptural teachings that, in their minds, scripturally, but not true, but in their minds, scripturally take away the snatching away. They're relieved. Oh, don't have to do that. It's like if somebody, say, is on the brink of being famous, let's say. Okay, let's say someone wrote a book and they're on the brink of being famous, but they don't really want to be famous because they like their life of leisure. They don't want to be tempted with the riches of life. all the good things that life has to offer. They don't want to be distracted from their family. So it's like their book, let's say, was up for the Pulitzer Prize, and they knew that their life would change if they won the Pulitzer. They'd have to go to where, to New York or whatever, to accept the prize. They have all these women throwing their bodies at them, and it would just change their life completely. These are calm, peaceful. It's the calm, peaceful family man. And I could see that man, like, hey, you didn't win the Pulitzer. Whew, thank God, because they don't want to change their life. They don't want their life to change. They don't want to be snatched away. They want it to be down the road. See, they're into Christ. They're into resurrection hope, as long as it doesn't happen to them in this life, as long as they don't have to be the generation. I'm telling you, there are people who don't want to be the generation. I am so convinced of it that that's the reason why people grasp at teachings like Acts 28 and the even more insane teaching than the more blasphemous teaching, even more satanic teaching than that. It's blasphemous and satanic, but Acts 28 is. But the other one is the premillennial kingdom. That's what tells Clyde Pilkington, that's what, quote, assures him, unquote, even though it was invented by a guy named Otis Sellers, who also believes in eternal torment, free will, and the Trinity. Yeah, there's a guy we want to get a teaching from. Hey, does Otis Sellers have any spare teachings over there? We're looking for one that's going to get rid of the snatching away. Oh, he does have one. What's it called? Oh, the premillennial kingdom. Perfect. Sounds perfect. What does it say? Oh, that there's going to be a 500-year Israel kingdom, but that's, you're talking about before the millennium. A 500-year Israelite kingdom before the millennium. Well, where's the body of Christ going to be at this time? Oh, they all have to die. Oh, perfect. Every member of the body of Christ has to die before this premillennial kingdom starts. What about the snatching away verse? What about this? We shall not all be put to repose. It's also a snatching away verse, the 1 Corinthians 15:51. The consummation. What? You need to rework that part of the teaching. But okay, yeah, okay, great, thank you. Brought to you by Otis Sellers, who also embraces eternal torment, free will, and the Trinity. He's 0-3, and with the premillennial kingdom, he's 0-4. What else has this guy done? No, I really don't want to hear about it. This is not a denial of resurrection hope, says Steve Martin. The famous Steve Martin, not the guy who was on Saturday Night Live, the stand-up comedian. No, I'm talking about the Steve Martin who's in the body of Christ. God bless him, and I love him. But this, not a denial of resurrection hope. No, because if we're all going to die without exception, we're at least, they believe we're going to be resurrected. At least today. I don't know. Tomorrow, maybe Otis Sellers is dead. Okay, well, whew, that's a relief. Okay, this is not a denial of resurrection hope. It's a re-evaluation. There it is, a re-evaluation of when that resurrection happens and for whom the snatching away was promised. Why do they have to take solid truth that is plainly written on the page of Scripture after a good translation has already been wrought, and they have to re-evaluate it? Because these people are idle. They have nothing else to do except invent new teachings and raise themselves up and give themselves a special place in the body of Christ. It's a re-evaluation. Oh my God, there it is. Re-evaluation. That goes right along with, we try to rightly divide the truth. And we try, after Scripture has been plainly said, then we got to try shit. We have to try different things. And now we have to re-evaluate it when the resurrection happens, for whom the snatching away was promised. These are interpretive matters. So no, they're not. Well, no, they're not interpretive matters. They're matters of reevaluation, not rejections of Christ. You see, I'm not saying it's a rejection of Christ. He's knocking down a straw man argument. It's not a rejection of Christ. That's not my argument. It's not a denial of resurrection hope. That's not my argument. It's a denial. 1 Corinthians 15:51 is what it is. That's what it's a denial of. Okay. Oh, I thought I was going to finish it today. I just got to point number three. But this is going to be good because, folks, Paul has laid out a beautiful, beautiful chapter here in Scripture. And damn it, we're going to believe all of it.